Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Corps Team.
Hello, Army families, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the Internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Corps Team. This is show number 473, and I'm your host tonight, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Today is Memorial Day, Monday, May 26, 2014. Glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
And on Memorial Day, we have our Army Wife Network Corps Team here with us as well. So if you're listening to our show live right now, you can join them in our Twitter party chat. It's a fun, easy way to follow our chat. You can also use Tweet Chat. You can listen to the show on Blog Talk Radio, so blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. And then to follow us in Tweet Chat, you would open up another window, tweetchat.com/room/Army Wife. Besides the awesome chat, though, and our great guests, we have giveaways that you'll only catch on Twitter, so you won't want to miss out. And you can also follow along the normal way if you don't like Tweet Chat or you don't want to use it. You can follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network. Just be sure that you're using the hashtag Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, USAA. We are the land of the free because we are the home of the brave. This Memorial Day, USAA salutes those who made the ultimate sacrifice. You can follow them on Twitter at USAA.
And we have a fabulous show for you guys on this wonderful Memorial Day. Tonight on AWTR, we'll be featuring Gail Cunningham from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. You can find more about them at www.nfcc.org. You can also follow them on Facebook at NFCC Debt Advice. You can use the same handle to follow them on Twitter. One more time, that's NFCC Debt Advice. And you can also catch them on YouTube under the handle NFCC09. We also have our Me Minute tonight with Maria Murphy. But before we get to that, your all's favorite part of the show, we have catching up to do for me and Miss Emily. So what's been going on, Miss Enns? I see you have some news to share, huh?
Well, it's important to me because it's television related. First, Janet, I miss you. I hope you had a restful and peaceful Memorial Day. It's been a long time since we got to talk.
It has. I've been looking forward to it. I've missed my ends.
Me too. Okay, so last night, I didn't go to sleep. For some reason, when we do the show together, I don't find myself going to sleep until like 4 o'clock in the morning. And for being in Korea, the show in Korea is at 9 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday morning. So I had less than about 4 hours of sleep. I woke up an hour ago and got dressed and did all the stuff I needed to do to get ready. But I think I'm just so excited to talk to you, I cannot sleep. And part of it is my
sister. You know, I'm going to call you on that, though, because how many times, and I'm sure the core team can represent here, how many times you're on Facebook, and we know it's like 3 or 4 in the morning there, and you should be in bed getting some sleep.
This is true, because it's my me time, and I get to read. But for some reason, I always tell myself, I have to go to sleep at a decent hour when I'm going to be on the show. And, I sound like a man first thing in the morning. And it's just not cute.
So, I'm with you there. I hear you completely.
I have to not wear pajamas today, and I've got to take a shower so I can sound like a girl again. But I was up late last night because I was watching – have you heard of the show Knife Fight?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Have you heard of the TV show Knife Fight?
Knife Fight. No, I have not heard of that.
my gosh. Okay, we got to talk about that really quick, okay?
Okay.
It is like a cooking competition meets Fight Club. Dude, it's so awesome. It's on Hulu. It's on some cable TV network called Esquire. I don't know if that's a special channel, whatever. We don't have cable. But, oh, my gosh, it's so stinking awesome. It's the host is Elan from Top Chef. Have you seen Top Chef? I mean,
yes, I've Top Chef, yes.
Okay, so Elan, he's like earlier Top Chef, hosts the show, and it's like his gig, and he's been doing it for years, and like these two chefs come in, and they don't win anything except bragging rights. And, it is epic. The winner gets a really big butcher knife that says, I won. And the loser gets, a little paring knife that says, I lost. But other than that, it is so awesome. The people in the background are yelling, and they're drinking, they're cussing. It is just an epic show. And I had to share that with you, especially since I know you love TV as much as I do.
Yes, I am. I am a TV buff. And you had me scared there for a minute. You said Fight Club, and I thought, what could these chefs possibly be doing? But I get what you mean with the atmosphere of it, especially if people are yelling and hollering and stuff. I get it. I get what you're saying now.
Right. I'm telling you, it's really good. But anyway, so...
Well, that sounds interesting, like a new take on cooking shows, most definitely.
Oh, yeah. It's Elan, which I love him. I just love him. Okay, so let's talk about me for a little bit. Okay, so the last luncheon was last week or the week before. I don't remember. All the days are running into each other. But it went really well. I am no longer president of the Spouses Club, so I can tell you how I really feel about it. No, I'm kidding. I got presents, and it was awesome. I love presents, and I made it painfully clear to everybody I love presents. So I got
Anne's love language. She loves her presents.
It only took a year for them to catch on, but I got presents. Okay. We are. I am no longer president, partly because we are PCSing in about 6 years.
I know.
Yay! I'm excited. First of all, I'm going to be 4 hours from you, so I'll be around for
I know. I can't wait for you to get back to America already.
Right?
To America.
We started what we call the PCS shakedown. Do you do the PCS shakedown?
Oh, yeah, where you start the purge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we are just... You know, when we came here, the weight allowance, it's not as big as a normal weight allowance because they encourage everyone to put stuff in storage because they make it seem like living in Korea means you're going to live in a hole in the ground and there's not going to be any room for your bed. So we didn't really bring much. Oh, my gosh, there's so many misconceptions about Korea. It's absolutely ridiculous. But...
Yeah, because, that rule does hold true. Sometimes, when we were in Germany, sometimes, they don't have, they're not with America style. Their closets are normally, outdoor. So their rooms are kind of small. So in Korea, that rule would kind of hold true that if you have a lot of, large pieces of furniture, might not be the best idea to bring that all with you. But Korea, though, with Claudia, her place, she seems like she's got a fairly big place.
Yes.
It doesn't look like it's as small there.
It depends on where you live. We have a 4-bedroom apartment, which in the States might be more of a 2 or 3-bedroom apartment because the rooms would be bigger in the States. But the door. They made it seem like you can't fit a king size bed through the door. And the briefing for coming to Korea is so outdated. I mean,
well, yeah. Now I remember when Claudia moved there, she had some great. Great pictures of them moving her couch in through a window. So,
oh my god, I still stop to stare at that every single time because it's not like they're bringing that up to the second floor. It's like the 15th floor. They've got this flat bed on a crane bringing the. It's ridiculous. Our stuff didn't come in through the window because our windows don't open like that. But I've seen that. All over Seoul, and it's a little ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Because I hate to see the guy that has to get up on the flatbed to get the couch off. No, that's okay.
Now, what's this I hear about? You're going to Hawaii.
We are going to Hawaii. Okay. So
how exciting is that? Hello?
It's awesome because my husband owes me, as you know. So we're going to Hawaii to do things that I want to do before we go to North Carolina and get his car. But it's going to be
the car that you love.
Yeah, I'm in love with that car. Me and that car are going to run away together and run off into a river. But it's going to be 5 days, no internet, no phones, just completely off the grid, just winding down and relaxing, which I'm super excited about.
I hear you. And you deserve it, girl. You deserve it. Especially after you're getting ready to make an overseas move. We know that that's always a challenge.
Yeah. I do deserve it. That's true. But enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Well, for me, I'm kind of looking forward to the same type of thing. I'm not going to Hawaii, but I am planning on going home to Miami this summer. So that, for me, that's my Hawaii. So.
Your family is in Miami?
Yes, that's where I'm originally from, born and raised for the first 13 years of my life. But my grandparents and my aunts and uncles, my cousins, they all still live down in Miami. So this is a great time to get to go down there. And we'll have our own PCS coming up next summer. So this could be, you know, one of the last chances I get to get down there and visit with them before we move somewhere else. And this is the closest out of all the time we've spent in the military. Georgia is the closest we've been stationed to where I've been kind of close to home. So I've been taking advantage of it while we've been down here. And so this summer we want to take at least one more chance to go down there and see everybody. But we are doing it. We're doing a pit stop on the way down. I'm taking the kids to Legoland. My son is a Lego fanatic.
You have to tell me how awesome that is, because Matthew would have a cow if we took him there. But I wasn't.
Yeah, I took him to the little, like, Discovery Center. Some cities, they have Lego Discovery Centers, which is, like, a very small version of what Legoland represents, but very much smaller. And if his reaction to the Atlanta Discovery Center for Lego was any reaction, I'm sure he's going to, like, pass out at the sight of this humongous Legoland. So he was all over the place in the Discovery Center. It was hilarious. But, I think he'll enjoy it. It should be fun. We're going to spend 2 days there, and then we'll continue on down to Miami. But other than that, my kids here in Georgia, they got out of school last week. So my kids are officially on summer break. So, but woo-hoo. Just because it's their summer break doesn't mean it's Janet's summer break yet. So I've just been busy working and being PTA president last year. When you get that role, you get it for 2 years. So I am PTA president again next year for Aiden's school, the elementary school. And so that's already requiring prep work. Like, we're already starting our plans and stuff for next year. So got a lot going on.
Yeah,
hasn't quite slowed down for me yet, but the kids are excited.
So Dan is going to Korea. Do you know where you guys are going after he gets back?
Well, they say Fort Hood. They say, but all of us spouses out there know that unless you've got it in black and white, and even then sometimes.
No, I guess we have an RFO, but we still can't do anything, obviously, with it. So we're just waiting for the orders. But, you know, we have the PCS again next year because Tom's only going for the captain's career course to Fort Rucker. So there is a chance that we're supposed to be going to Hood after that.
Oh,
so,
I hope so. That would be like a dream come true. You know, that would be awesome, though, because with Kristen down there, that would make, like, three of us, and then we have Miss Tara over in Dallas, so that would be awesome. Like, you'd almost have, like, Army Wife Network headquarters right there in Texas.
I love that. We'll just show up at Tara's door, and she has curlers in her hair.
I know. Like, we would have so much fun with that. Like, poor Miss Tara, she'd be hating us. She's like, if you two women don't stop showing up at my doorstep. But we do need to keep going, unfortunately. As much as I could talk to Ms. M's, like, the rest of the night with you guys, we do want to go ahead and take a look at what's been happening on Army Wife Network with our social media roundup. So let's go see what's been happening on AWN.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
We'll start with our hot topic this week has been about the U.S. deploying an 80-man drone force to help find the Nigerian girls that were kidnapped. Right now, 80 American service members are on the ground in North Africa to oversee drone operations in search for the 276 abducted Nigerian schoolgirls. The Obama administration said that on Wednesday. The White House did formally notify Congress that the troops are in the neighboring African nation of Chad. The mission includes 40 people to operate and maintain the Predator drones and 40 more to protect that force. We'll share that link with you if you'd like to take a look at the story. I wish our troops the very best of luck in helping to assist in finding these poor girls who have been missing for weeks now. This has gone on for a while, and I'm glad the United States is able to do something, but I just hope that our troops stay safe and come home soon.
And hot on AWN this week is a blog from Jen C. I love her. Jen, who's
she is. She's awesome.
Days. Oh, she is. We're friends on Facebook. I stalk her. but Jen, who spent 556 days as an Army wife, decided to begin a series called The Army Wife Chronicles. It features the stories of military wives, their struggles, their triumphs, their highs, and their lows. Her hope is that in sharing our stories, we may bond over our similarities and celebrate our differences, resulting in a greater appreciation for one another as wives, mothers, and women. Check out Jen C's blog on lovingasoldier.com/the-army-wife-chronicles-meet-ally.
And some other big news for Army Wife Network for our fans, we have posted that we have a core team position now available. So if you would like to become a part of the Army Wife Network core team, you can contact us at info@armywifenetwork.com. We want to know why you want to be a member of the Army Wife Network core team. This position is going to be our new News 6 to help us make sure we're getting all the important headlines out to you.
And last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit one per show. We ask for them 10 days in advance to info@armywifenetwork.com. Blue Star Families – oh, sorry. I'm going to rewind. Okay. Blue Star Museums offers free admission to military families at 2,000-plus museums nationwide. And I'm going to completely screw up the same, and I apologize in advance. NEA Acting Chairman Joan Shigekawa and Blue Star Family CEO Kathy Ross Duquette announced the fifth annual launch of Blue Star Museum, a collaboration among the National Endowment for the Arts, Blue Star Families, and the Department of Defense and more than 2,000 museums across America to offer free admission to the nation's service members, including National Guard and Reserve and their families, from Memorial Day through Labor Day 2014. Leadership support has been provided by MetLife Foundation through Blue Star Families. The program provides families an opportunity to enjoy the nation's cultural heritage and learn more about their new communities after completing a military move. The complete list of participating museums is available at www.arts.gov/Blue Star Museum. This year, more than 2,000 and counting museums in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and American Samoa are taking part in the initiative. Museums are welcome to join Blue Star Museums throughout the summer. The effort to recruit museums has involved partnerships with the American Alliance of Museums, the Association of Art Museum Directors, the Association of Children's Museums, the American Association of State and Local History, and the Association of Science Technology Centers. This year, Blue Star Museums represents not just fine art museums, but also science museums, history museums, nature centers, and dozens of children's museums. the free admission program is available to any bearer of a Geneva Convention Common Access Card, CAT card, a DD Form 1173 ID card, dependent ID card, or a DD Form 1173-1 ID card, which includes active duties, U.S. military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, as well as members of the National Guard and Reserve, U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps, NOAA Commission Corps, and up to 5 family members. Some special or limited-time museum exhibits may not be included in this free admission. For questions on particular exhibits or museums, please contact the museum directly. To find the participating museums and Pioneer Trips, visit www.arts.gov/national/blue-star-museums. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is AWN News 6 Paula, bringing you the need-to-know news. We'll be right back.
My first week home was great. We had a party.
2 o'clock in the morning, they were waiting for me.
My niece was waiting for me at the airport with a sign.
There was a huge sign across my front house, and it said, "Welcome home, Megan."
They lifted me up on their shoulders. And
first week back, people just said thank you.
Now, what about the second week? A new generation of veterans is coming home. Make a difference for them at WelcomeBackVeterans.org.
Brought to you by WelcomeBackVeterans.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6, Paula, giving you your need-to-know news. As our nation wraps up another Memorial Day observance, we ask that you keep our Gold Star families in your hearts and your minds today. President Barack Obama led the nation in commemorating Memorial Day, declaring the United States has reached a pivotal moment in Afghanistan with the end of war approaching by year's end. Obama, who returned just hours earlier from a surprise visit with U.S. troops at Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan, paid tribute to those lost in battle there and elsewhere over history. He called them patriots who made the ultimate sacrifice for their country. Obama said that many of us will never know the courage and sacrifice of parents and loved ones across America who have lost a child, spouse, brother, sister, or friend in war. And he made a fleeting reference to the widening scandal involving reports of poor performance by the Department of Veterans Affairs, which is facing allegations of delayed treatments and even deaths in Arizona. Obama said the country owes it to its veterans the care they need. Closing his brief remarks, he said, "May God bless the fallen and all those who have served and watched over their families." As the investigation into the scandal surrounding the VA healthcare system deepens, we're keeping track of the resulting policy changes. In this one, access to care may be improved for our nation's veterans. The Obama administration said Saturday it will allow more veterans to obtain health care at private hospitals and clinics in an effort to improve their treatment. Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseski also said VA facilities are enhancing capacity of their clinics so veterans can get care sooner. In cases where officials cannot expand capacity at VA centers, the Department of Veterans Affairs is increasing the care we acquire in the community through non-VA care, Shinseski said. Lawmakers from both parties have pressed for this policy change as the VA confronts allegations that veterans have died while awaiting treatment at VA centers. The VA also faces allegations that employees have falsified appointment records to cover up delays in care. The directive should make it easier for veterans to get medical care at non-VA facilities, according to an agency spokeswoman. Senator John McCain has called for the VA to allow more veterans to receive medical care at private hospitals. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said this past week that she was open to the idea of medical care at private hospitals. She said it was unacceptable to have a backlog of patients waiting for permission to go to a federally qualified clinic. And in tonight's Children's Health and Safety Tip, how to keep your young ones safer online. A child can learn a great deal online, but the Internet can be a dangerous place if the child isn't prepared. The University of Michigan Health System suggests these Internet safety tips. Teach children about websites that are appropriate and those that are inappropriate. A child should know to leave any site that doesn't seem appropriate or make the child feel uncomfortable. Help your child create a screen name that reveals nothing about the child's identity. Make sure a child knows to never reveal any personal information. Your child should avoid chat rooms. Make sure your child knows never to reveal a password to anyone, even to a friend. Your child should never agree to meet anyone met online in person. Those are your need-to-know news stories for this week. Stay tuned to the Army Wife Network Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Paula signing out.
I had PTSD. Once I was back from Iraq, I was distant from everybody in my family.
We had a reunion of our unit, and you'd hear these spouses say, "Is your husband doing that? My husband's doing that too. I thought it was just us." And really understanding that, hey, this is a common experience.
I learned more to listen to what he was saying, and that made it easier for me to understand where his pain was coming from.
Resources are available for military families. Learn more at realwarriors.net.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Janet McIntosh.
And I'm your co-host, Emily Grace. Tonight we have with us Gail Cunningham, Media Relations for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling Incorporated, based in Washington, D.C. Gail is considered a subject matter expert and interfaces with the national media, serving as spokesperson for the organization. Prior to this position, Gail was Vice President of Public Relations for the NFCC.
Gail began her career in the credit counseling sector in 1987. Over two decades' experience in the industry, Gail has provided one-on-one financial counseling to thousands of consumers and reached tens of thousands more through hosting television shows related to consumer education on cable and network television, as well as writing a weekly financial education column that appeared in multiple newspapers and online sites. And she's here to share with us tonight. Welcome back to the show, Gail. Are you there?
I am here, and I'm particularly proud to be here on Memorial Day. That's a real honor for me.
Well, we're so very glad to have you, Gail. We normally start the segment off by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, as you can probably tell, I have a cold, so I apologize for that.
I'm so sorry.
It'll be fine. I work for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, which is based in Washington, D.C. However, I work from home deep in the heart of Texas. I'm in Wichita Falls, Texas tonight.
Oh, excellent. We're all about Texas tonight.
I was listening to that. It's just old home week.
I hear you.
I just want to say really quick that this is the first time I'm speaking to Gail on the phone. Typically, she provides a money column for the main site, armywifenetwork.com, every month. And I never, ever talk to her on the phone. We always talk by email. So it's great to have you on the show, Gail.
I thought you were going to comment on my accent. That's what most people do. But you're right. We haven't actually spoken, although each month, at least once a month, I do contribute some money tips. So I hope that your audience is taking advantage of those. We try to keep them very timely and topical to what's going on in the world today.
Oh, definitely.
And that's why we love Miss Gail.
I want you to read me a story when this is all done, by the way, just so I can hear your accent.
Well, hopefully I wouldn't put you to sleep with it.
So here we are just about mid-year. How do you think people are doing with their New Year's resolutions concerning their finances, Gail?
Well, I can't believe it's mid-year, but it is.
I know, right?
Exactly. And what we all do, we're such a well-meaning lot of folks, and our intentions are good. I've been in this credit counseling sector for 27 years, and I've never met somebody that intended to dig themselves a deep financial hole, and yet they do. So come New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, typically people are making out their new list of resolutions. And, of course, debt repayment's always at the top, weight loss and debt repayment. They share the number one and two spots year after year. And so here we are mid-year, and I just wanted to remind folks that it's really time to take a look at how are you doing with living up to your own New Year's resolutions. You know, it's tough to get out of debt, particularly when money is tight. But what people fail to realize is it's really not rocket science, but it's a series of small, smart steps repeated over time that leads to long-term financial stability. Very boring things like creating a budget and tracking your spending and not spending more than you make and managing to somehow find some money to save. And we can dig into all of those. But, you know, there's nothing I'm going to say tonight that you haven't heard before. But lots of folks don't put those very basic building blocks of financial success into place.
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly true, and I think every time I talk to somebody about financial things, I think I always learn something new, even if some of it is something I've heard before, and we're excited to be able to bring your insight to our listeners tonight. Let's start with what can the average person do to become more financially successful? Is it just following those tips that you briefly mentioned, or is there something else that they should be more focused on? To make sure that they're able to be financially better.
Yeah, well, you know, we work really hard for our money, but we spend it very casually. And if you think about that, when you're at the store and you see something cute and you toss it into your buggy, really very mindlessly. But if you think back to how many hours you had to work for that blouse that you just tossed into the buggy, or that toy that your child was begging for and you gave in and said okay, that puts it in an entirely different perspective. You know, we've seen folks through the years that made a conscious decision to live on a cash basis, not because they didn't have access to credit. I'm thinking of one couple that I worked with. He was a football coach and she was a pharmaceutical rep, and so they made a nice income, but they got their credit card statement one time and they looked at what they owed, and then they looked around the house and they thought, what do we have to show for this money? This is ridiculous. We can pay it, but gee, it just feels like we're frittering our hard-earned money away. So they
right.
began living on a cash basis, and everyone I've ever talked to that did that, they saved 20% and they didn't feel the pain. And here's why. It's because we increase our awareness. Here we are back at the store, and we're seeing that cute thing on the shelf that we didn't know we needed when we walked into the store. And instead of mindlessly tossing it into the buggy, we think about it then. We think that the realization dawns on us that when we get up to checkout, we're going to have to peel some hard-earned money out of our wallet. You know, not just plastic. Plastic has done a very good job of separating us from our money. Yeah, I'm reminded of the story of the child who was begging for something, and his mother said, "I don't have the money to pay for it." And he said, "Just charge it."
That's never a good idea.
Yeah, we're heading home.
I've
I'm sure we're lots
say that
of
a
folks.
Lot.
So, you know, our children learn from us. As a matter of fact, in our financial literacy survey, we always ask, where did you learn the most about personal finance? And year after year after year, the answer is from home, from my parents or at home. And so that sounds all predictable and not too astounding, but let's step back and think. What if those parents don't have good financial skills? Because also our survey gave folks, the respondents, the ability to grade themselves on their knowledge of personal finance, and 41% gave themselves a C, D, or F. So that 41% is also teaching their children financial skills. So, and I'm digressing here. I've almost forgotten the question, but that
You've given us some great points.
Well, it's just that we have the opportunity as parents to impact two generations, ours and our children's, if we will improve our financial skills. Because the kiddos, they're going to observe much more strongly what we do, how we respond to money, than how we try to lecture them. So, you know, I'll put the responsibility
back in
the parents'
land. That's extremely important that we have to be able to pass these same things on to our kids, and teaching our kids to be fiscally responsible is our responsibility as parents. You're exactly right.
You know, in another survey, and I hope I'm not making people's eyes glaze over with all this data, but we ask people, what do you think about a budget? And the overwhelming majority, when given the choice of I find a budget a good tool to guide me through my spending, or I find a budget restrictive, they chose restrictive. So if I could get folks to just look at budgeting differently, it's not a four-letter word. Call it a spending plan if you must. But look at your budget as something that frees you up to spend your money exactly as you choose to spend it.
Gail, I'm definitely one of those people who sees budget as a four-letter word. I mean, it's not – I try to spend as responsibly as I possibly can. My husband, not so much. But as far as coming up with, like, sitting down, doing a budget, it seems overwhelming, I think. I think it's probably overwhelming to a lot of people to think of every single little thing.
I agree. And it's those little things, though. You hit the nail on the head that really trip us up. If I said, what's your house payment, you'd tell me, or what's your car payment, you'd tell me. But if I said, well, how much do you spend each month eating out, I'd get that deer in the headlights look.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that because we've raised four children, have 11 grandchildren. I've been where a lot of your audience is right now, so I get it. But what it starts with, you can do anything for 30 days. I used to say that, would you do something for 5 minutes that was really hard if it made the next 60 minutes, made the next hour really easier? Well, you'd take me up on that. So I'm going to extend that challenge to say for 30 days, track every cent you spend and have everybody in the household who spends money write down every cent they spend. And it doesn't have to be arduous or this something that you dread. Look forward to it. Make it fun. Come back together after 30 days, no holds barred. You lay out your spending on the kitchen table, and then you come together as a family and say, guys, did you ever realize we're eating three pizzas a week? Do you think we could possibly live with one pizza a week? Or look at this cable TV bill. We have 600 channels, and we're never home to watch TV. So just always, what I recommend is cutting back, not cutting out, because that way you're not adjusting behavior so strongly that you'll just give it up next week. So keep your cable TV, keep eating out, keep doing all those things that your family does, but just be smarter about them.
Well, along those lines, Gail, I wanted to ask you, how can we save money when we don't think we can? How can we really save if it's something that...
Yeah, because that's
right.
A good point, Ann, because we've been talking about spending, but on the other side of that spectrum is also about learning to be better savers, right, Gail?
Absolutely. You know, it's not a matter of if that financial emergency, that unplanned expense is going to rear its ugly head, but when, and it's going to be at the most inopportune time. So I'm going to give you two tips. Most people have at least 10 spending categories that are flexible. Not very flexible about your rent, not very flexible about your car payment, but your utilities and your grocery budget and your clothing budget, et cetera. If you could shave $10 a month off of 10 flexible spending categories, you would have an extra $100 a month, and you'd never feel it. You know you can adjust the thermostat. You know you can save 10 bucks at the grocery store in a whole month. I mean, you know you can do that. So 10 bucks times 10 categories equals $100. Sock that away. At this time next year, you have $1,200. You are so much better off than you were today. And, again, you will never feel it. Also, one of my greatest tips is to adjust your income. If you're getting an income tax refund, adjust your W-4. I really want people to understand that they are just giving Uncle Sam their hard-earned money for him to turn around and give it back to them without the benefit of any interest. And the average refund in recent years has been around $3,000. So you can get a once-a-year $3,000 lump sum, and you jump up and click your heels together, or you can have an extra $250 each and every month in your pocket. Now, I'm here to suggest that that emergency doesn't come once a month in April, that $250 is going to be much better spent or used during the year for the emergency, the unplanned expense that comes along, for you to pay down debt with it, for you to build up your savings account with it, for you to invest with it, than the once-a-year lump sum.
Right, that's an excellent point. One of the things I did also want to ask you about, Ms. Gail, with obviously in the news we've heard all about these breaches that have been made on credit cards and debit cards through, you know, stores such as the Target, what happened with Target. Would your advice be to switch only to paying with cash when it comes to using credit cards or debit cards?
Well, that certainly would protect you from those types of breaches. I hesitate to tell people to carry large amounts of cash on them. But, of course, you can carry some cash and then go to the ATM machine at the mall or whatever as you're shopping and pull out money as you need it. Now, that's
right.
Going to get me off on a tangent about being financially unorganized, but I'll go there in a minute. But I do think that that would certainly solve that problem. I've got to tell you, I am a fan of credit monitoring services. I know people can make an argument against them. I happen to have been given one, and I just love it. I have unlimited access to my credit report. I have unlimited access to my credit score. It sends me alerts if there's been a change, like if somebody happens to apply for credit in my name, I get an alert immediately. If it was me, no problem. If it wasn't me, big problem, but yet I can deal with it promptly. I, as a matter of fact, was a part of the Target breach. I had two Netflix movies charged to my account by people in Brazil. And that it's my understanding that that's really common, that they try a small charge to see if it goes through, and if it does, then they move on to bigger and better things. Well, my credit card issuer was very happy to shut down that account and send me a new card immediately. So they're on top of it.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's on the consumer side as well, because I know I wasn't I've had people get a hold of my information, which there's a variety of ways that they can do that, but not through the Target scandal, but before. And I know this is probably going to sound like a plug for USAA, but they are my bank, and they do have a great fraud protection. And what you were saying about checking or having those credit checking services, I'm with you. I'm a huge fan. I do one through USAA because something my grandmother once told me was you should always keep your credit golden. And I think credit is one of the most important things that we have, and we should make sure we're doing anything and everything to protect that. And, you know, getting those reports allows you to check, because I know a lot of people don't do that. They're not checking their credit reports on a regular basis and making sure that, you know, nobody's on there or doing anything in their name. But I think that's a benefit for us, that a lot of the banks and stuff that are catching on and have good departments that are working hard to catch these things.
Oh, absolutely. And, you can sign up and view your statements online all the time, and you don't
right.
have to wait for it to come to you in the mail.
So that's another protection. Yeah, I check my bank account every single day on the daily, and that's how the last two times it's happened. The first time USAA caught it before I did, and I actually got a phone call. But the second time it was some T-shirt company, and like you were saying, they were trying to make a small charge of like $20 for some – it was under a company that makes T-shirts or something. And I immediately contacted my husband and was like, did you order T-shirts? He's like, no. And so that's when I knew that something wasn't right. Immediately called USAA, and they were on it. On it quick.
Well, I think USAA is wonderful.
Yes, it is. Yeah. We are going to have to take a quick break real quick. Don't forget, for those of you that are listening to us, the AWN Core Team has some fun discussion taking place over in our Twitter chat. It's twitter.com/Army Wife Network. We're using the hashtag Army Wife, so be sure you're using that when you participate. When we come back, we're going to talk about credit cards, our scores, and how many cards do we really need. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Love where you live. When you move into a Corvius home, you'll find more than just convenient on-post housing at 7 Army installations across the country. You'll also find fun family events, upscale fitness centers, resort-style pools, and more. Our award-winning customer service, 24-hour maintenance, and smiling faces are just waiting to welcome you. Love your next home at CorviusMilitaryLiving.com. That's CorviusMilitaryLiving.com.
This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together and the Me Minute. This month we're going to talk about practicing forgiveness. Forgiveness is a great way to gift ourselves. And research shows that when we practice forgiveness, even for small things, we trigger a positive, calming chemical reaction in our bodies. So the next time someone hurts or disappoints you, practice letting go and forgiving them. Remember, when it comes to forgiveness, though, sometimes the most important person to forgive is yourself. This is Maria Murphy with Simply Put Together. You can learn more about my tips and tools at simplyputtogether.com, or if you're interested in coaching, go to mariamurphycounseling.com. But for now, remember, forgive yourself and forgive those around you for a more calm and peaceful life.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com, interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Ms. Gail Cunningham, a media relations with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Before we went to break, we were discussing about becoming more financially successful and some of the things that we can do to better manage our finances. But now we want to delve into credit. We did start talking about credit and the importance of checking our credit reports and being more aware of what's going on. Let's talk about credit reports, Gail, and tell us why they're so important.
Well, your credit report is basically your financial reputation. So you want to make sure that it's correct, it's accurate, it's about you, and it's only you, only about you. We recommend at a minimum obtaining your credit report at least once per year. Back to our survey, we ask if people had done that. 60% have not, in spite of it being free. You can go to www.annualcreditreport.com and obtain your credit report for free from each of the three bureaus once every 12 months. So be sure to do that, and you can stagger your requests. For instance, go to Experian and get your credit report now. Wait 4 months, go to Equifax. Wait 4 more months, go to TransUnion. All of the credit reports, those are the three major reporting bureaus, they will be similar but different. But nonetheless, that's going to help you keep a really good eye out for identity theft. Another important thing people need to understand is that their credit score is based on the information in their credit report. So if your husband is a junior and dad's senior and dad doesn't have very good credit, you need to make sure that his report is not confused with his father's, because that's going to negatively impact the credit score. And those three little numbers can dictate whether or not you are granted credit and at what interest rate.
So, Gail, how can a person improve their credit score?
There are basically five elements to how FICO, and that's the granddaddy of all the scores, what they look at, what they crunch together out of your credit report to come up with your credit score. If you only do two of them right, it's highly likely that you'll improve your score. Coming in at the highest weighted element is your payment history. Do you pay your bills on time? Now, that sounds very simple, but when you're struggling, that becomes very difficult. Also, if you're a procrastinator, if you travel a lot, if you're unorganized, then you would really benefit from setting up automatic bill pay, because there's nothing good to be gained from paying a bill late or skipping that bill. You're going to get a negative mark on your credit report, likely to take your credit score down, and you're going to be charged a late fee. So make sure that doesn't happen. So now you're thinking, well, but I don't know how much I'm going to charge each month. Look back over your Visa or MasterCard bill and see what you charge. Most of us charge about the same amount every month. Then look at your minimum monthly payment and double it. Set up that amount to be automatically paid before the due date. Then when you find that bill stuffed up in the visor of your car or buried in the bottom of your purse and you panic, you can then rest easy that at least the minimum amount was paid, and you can circle back and pay the amount in full. So I might get
Well, and not only that, Gail, but a lot of card companies nowadays, if you're paying over the amount, like I know on my, I only have one credit card with USAA, but I know that I'm a huge believer, like what you're saying, you definitely need to pay more than what's due. Not only does it pay down the credit faster, but you're paying less on the interest on it. The thing I was trying to get to is that a lot of times they'll have your balance at like the next payment, but it'll say zero due. So in case you do miss that month, you didn't have to make a payment because you paid over. I know some card companies do that now as well, since they're tracking that you're overpaying technically.
Yeah, I'd kind of hate to say that across the board, because I'm not sure that
no,
all
you're exactly
will honor
right.
It
not
like
everyone.
That. Yeah.
Yeah,
but you know, another tool
for me in that situation, if I were, like you said, you know, if something happened and, you know, because we can't always handle what life, you know, sometimes life throws crazy stuff and you get behind or something, sometimes that's nice if you have a company that does that.
Absolutely. Another tool that a lot of issuers are offering are alerts, and I think people ought to take advantage of all of those that they can, so that you don't rely on yourself to remember it, because you've got so many things swimming through your head, and you will get a text alert or an emailed alert. So that can also benefit you. But paying your bills on time comes in at 35% of your score. The next highest weighted element is how much you owe. And fancy talk for that is the credit utilization ratio. And all in the world that means is how much you owe against your line of credit. So if you have a $1,000 line of credit and you've only charged $100, your credit utilization ratio is only 10%. That's great. We recommend not going above 30%. So you could owe $300. And that element comes in at 30%. So you pay your bills on time. You don't max out your credit cards. You've done 65% of your score correctly. The other elements are the length of your credit history, opening new lines of credit, and the types of credit used. The model likes to see that you can manage different types of credit responsibly. For instance, your car payment's a fixed amount for a certain term, whereas your credit card, your Visa or Master or your store credit card, they're revolving with a different amount you charge each month and a different payment due each month. So a credit score is nothing more than a predictor of risk. So it looks at these elements based on what you've done in the past to predict how you're going to do in the future.
Well, and let me ask you this, Gail, since we're talking about, you know, credit cards, and we know that that is part, obviously, your activity with your credit cards is also, you know, shown through your score. How many credit cards does somebody need? Because you were talking about the amount that you owe, the amount of debt that you have. What type, how many do they need and what type do they really need? Should they have like a gas card? Should they have one for home improvement, department stores, or does it matter? What's your advice on that?
Well, I think first of all, you have to know yourself. If you're the type where more plastic equals more temptation. We've all been in line behind somebody who pulled out a credit card. It was denied without blinking. They reached in their purse, pulled out another one. We don't want to be those people. So I would know yourself. And if you can manage a couple of credit cards with constant charges being made on those, then that's just fine. But don't open a new line of credit simply to be able to buy more, because that's a red flag that you're probably living beyond your means, what your income can support. But a lot of people like to have two credit cards, one that they're going to put their daily expenses on and then one for emergencies. If you go home tonight and your refrigerator is out, you know you can't pay that, you charge it and pay off the balance in full when that bill arrives. So you may need to string that payment out over 3 months. And by the way, that's what I recommend. Never charge anything that you can't pay off in 3 months. You would want to put that on a really low interest credit card, whereas your daily expenses may be on a rewards card, and those cards may have a higher interest rate, but you don't care because you're paying that bill in full when it arrives. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, most definitely, most definitely.
And, you know, before we run out of time, I wanted to touch on something. I'm going to kind of throw you about this, but I want to work it in that we recently did a survey around the military, and I'm going to run over some of those and see if your audience, if it hits home with some of the findings. 77% of service members have financial worries. And more than half say they are very worried about the potential loss of income and job security resulting from defense cuts and downsizing. As a matter of fact, 28% said they're now more worried than they were 12 months ago about how their financial situation will be in the future. Lots of them feel as though, more than half, that they are ill-prepared for an emergency, and we touched on that a few minutes ago with having that savings account built up. And 3 out of 5 service members who have taken out a loan in the past 12 months say that they had limited lending options, which required them looking for an alternative non-traditional lender to meet their needs. And I thought of this data when we were speaking of a credit score, because credit is, it's not a birthright. It's something that you need to manage responsibly, build that credit score up so that you are not put in a position where you have to go to non-traditional lenders to meet your emergency needs.
Well, and Gail, we did, you are right, we do need to wrap it up, but we did have a question come in asking about how long how long things stay in consideration? Like if you had a bad period, how long is that a consideration in order to get like a loan or whatnot? I know typically it stays on your credit. If you've missed a couple payments or something, I know typically it stays on your credit report for 7 years. But it doesn't take 7 years before people will consider you again, does it?
It doesn't. So the sun will come up tomorrow. Let me run over this quickly. Open accounts in good standing, well, they'll stay indefinitely. So that's the good news. Closed accounts in good standing, 10 years. Late or missed payments, 7 years. Collection accounts, 7 years. Civil judgments, 7 years. Bankruptcy can stay up to 10 years. Unpaid tax liens, 10 years. And then credit inquiries. That's just if you went out and tried to open a new account, that would be 2 years. But see, that can send a red flag that if you're trying to get too much credit in too small a period of time, that makes lenders nervous. So again, I wouldn't fill my wallet with plastic. I would absolutely be responsible and pay that debt down. That I think the person who asked that question probably has some bad marks on their credit report. That's okay. And like I said, the sun will come up tomorrow, but tend to them. Don't bury your head in that financial sand.
Right. Can you tell our listeners really quick where they can go if they'd like to find out more, Gail?
I'm glad you asked that, but because I neglected that at the start when you asked me about it. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling is the largest and longest-serving network of nonprofit, community-based credit counseling agencies in the nation, over 600 locations, which means there's probably a physical location near you. But what I want everybody to understand, if you're listening to this and maybe you're in a foreign country, we offer counseling in person, by phone, or online. Go to nfcc.org, or I also want to make you aware of our new program, sharpentoday.org, which has a military component, a dedicated military component through Wells Fargo, which is absolutely super. They're hands-on banking for military. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to your family to reach out for help. And again, don't look the other way. In my 27 years, I've never seen a financial problem that fixed itself.
I hear you, Gail. We so appreciate you being with us tonight and for all this great advice. So we want to thank you one more time, and we hope you have a great evening.
Thank you so much, Gail, for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Awesome. And we also want to congratulate our winner in the Twitter party chat, and also a big thank you to our AWTR show sponsor, USAA. We are the land of the free because we are the home of the brave. This Memorial Day, USAA salutes those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Next week on June 2nd, on the show, we are featuring Kathleen Boucher, I hope I said that right, author of A Simple Idea to Empower Kids, so you don't want to miss it.
In the meantime, join us on armywifenetwork.com, any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, y'all. Don't forget about Instagram, I'm just saying. Or catch up with catch up with one of many of our bloggers sharing the journey at lovingasoldier.com.
And that's Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye, Janet.
Bye, Miss Ems.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.